Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is compulsory heterosexuality. Why are you laughing already? You were just looking at the screen and laughing.
I'm just in a giggly mood.
Oh, you're just giggles.
I'm just giggles today, yeah.
Compulsory heterosexuality.
Heterosexuality.
It's the topic.
Of the day.
Yeah.
I really feel like if there's a topic that I'm an expert on, it's this one.
Okay.
Because I lived a large portion of my life practicing compulsory heterosexuality. Sean's looking at me like he wants to kill me because I'm putting on my sweater because it's cold.
I've never seen a human. Hey, humans. I've never seen a human put on a sweater slower than that.
I was trying to be quiet for the mic.
It wasn't. That's why I was staring at you.
With anger
yeah.
in your eyes.
Chop, chop.
Yeah. I feel like...
You've lived so much of your life putting on that sweater.
Yeah. I was just putting on that heterosexual sweater yeah. for ages. No, I think there's different levels. Like, to me, it's kind of like the difference between lying and just not giving information.
Okay.
In the sense that I think there are people that are LGBTQ plus that spend a lot of their life not living as their authentic self, or like, I use the word practicing. It sounds like you're practicing religion, or I have no idea what else. But like, acting on their sexuality. Like for me, it would be dating a woman.
Yeah.
Like there's people that just didn't do what they really wanted to do. And then there's people like myself that went the extra mile and didn't just not act on my inner feelings, but I went the full length of trying to live heterosexually.
Okay.
And like present heterosexual. Like I didn't just not date girls, but I really tried to be
like a woman hater.
No.
You know,
I really tried like to just hate them all.
The norms that I am told by society is that women hate women. So I will do that.
No, not at all. I definitely had a lot of like female friends, but I really put a high level of importance in my life to be attractive to men.
Right.
And like want men to want to date me. I dressed for men. I really like, I even remember going into like grade 8 and thinking, okay, well, all the girls are getting a boyfriend, so I've got to get a boyfriend. And to me, I didn't understand that everyone else wasn't doing those steps because they thought they should, like I was. I thought that, like, I thought everyone was kind of checking off those boxes. Like, okay, you have to try and make out with a guy now.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to try and get a boyfriend now. It was very much like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, so this is what I'm going to do. And I thought that's what everyone else was doing, too.
So when this was happening, were you aware that you were just checking boxes?
But that's the thing. Like, to me, I think I was aware that I was checking boxes, but I just thought that's the way that women felt about men.
Oh, okay. Yes, so, like, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think that I was fully aware of my sexuality. When I look back, of course, it's easy to be like, I knew that I was gay. But I had stuffed it so far down because to me, I mean, a big part of compulsory heterosexuality is that like we're so surrounded by society's norms and expectations and, you know, representation on TV and seeing all our friends be in heterosexual relationships that I wasn't even like, okay, on one side I could be heterosexual and on the other side I could be gay. It was just like, I need to be heterosexual. There weren't even the options. I wasn't even weighing the options.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just thought, okay, this is what you do. And the feelings were so far removed from it for me personally, but I didn't realize that all my other friends that were women did not also feel the same way I did.
Yeah.
That like they were actually interested in dating.
Yeah. It wasn't
people.
A checklist. It was enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Whereas like for me, I just remember being stressed like, oh my God, all my friends have had a boyfriend and I haven't had a boyfriend. Like, I got to catch up.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, that was the same thing for so many different, like, milestones in my life. Like, all my friends have a date to the dance. Like, I've got to get a date to the dance. Like, all my friends, you know, have like a guy who decorated their locker for Valentine's Day. So I've got to get that. And it was so much more of like a presentation thing that other people would know a guy liked me, or that like other people would know that I've had a boyfriend. And there really wasn't, looking back, like any sort of actual like yearning of like enjoyment or feeling. But I would get that feeling of happiness from succeeding those checks.
Ah, yeah. So, you do love success.
So. Yes. So I think I confused that. Like, I would be excited that I'd have a boyfriend, and I would confuse that for being like interested in this boy.
I think the time in my life that had the most compulsive heterosexuality was definitely high school.
Yeah.
And it's so funny when you talk to mostly straight people. There are some queer people or people on the spectrum that, you know, have different experiences, obviously.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you talk to straight people and say, or me personally, I say, oh, I actually had girlfriends in high school.
Right.
And they're like, oh, to cover your tracks? Yeah. Like, eh. And I'm like, you really think that I was doing enough work introspectively to realize that it was, like, I wasn't smart enough to be covering my tracks.
Yeah, I didn't even know I had tracks to cover.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm like, other people did, but I hadn't caught on yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so wild to just think back, and like you said, there are so many confusing feelings. Mm-hmm. You were confusing yours with the success of checking off a box.
Yeah.
But I was confusing that I enjoyed somebody's company as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, everybody is dating people because they're enjoying this as a friend.
Yeah,
they're
totally
just enjoying time together. Yeah. And then everybody else was like, we're fucking. And I was like, friends. You are friends.
Yes, exactly. No, I think it's so interesting because even like, okay, I had this one first boyfriend. I think I've talked about this before on this podcast, but he was like very like impressively romantic for a young age. Like he like was very artistic and he drew me and like all these different things.
I'm sorry, he drew you?
Yeah, like he was very like, his, he came from, like, an artistic family, and he, like, walked me down to, like, the water by his place and, like, had set up a surprise picnic down there.
Did it suck and when he froze in the ocean and you were on the door and they picked you up?
It was a shame. It was kind of sad, yeah. I wish I had just hung on a little longer.
You know,
yeah.
There's only so much you can do. R.I.P. Jack.
Yeah, so me and Jack, while it lasted, I remember being excited when he would do those romantic things because I knew that people would think that was romantic. So
that's a confusing one too, though, because if anybody drew me, if my worst enemy drew me, I'd be happy about
You'd be
it.
Like, oh.
That would confuse me. So I do, I will give you some slack on
and
this.
And that was my first, like, quote unquote boyfriend.
Does Julia draw? You don't want Julia to draw you.
If I want my self-esteem to hit the bottom of the ocean, like Jack did.
Like Jack's corpse did.
Yeah, no. So I remember like going on this date and being like, this is what boys are supposed to do to impress girls. Like, wow, he's doing all those things that that girls are supposed to like.
Okay.
So I'm supposed to like this. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell my friends, oh my gosh, he did this and this and this. And they're going to think that's really impressive and really cool. And it's like, I got a good one. There was no point that I was like, actually like, oh my God, like this is making me feel like amazing. It was more like I had seen this in movies and I had read this in books, and this is like the, you know, high school rom-com moment where he walks me down and there's a surprise picnic set up and he played musical instruments and all the things. So it was really like the perfect storm
of confusion.
Of like some, yeah, of
you,
yeah.
Probably would have come out earlier if you had realized that all men were trash.
Seriously.
And you got the one that's gonna serenade you with a string quartet and draw you.
So yeah, so I dated him for like, it was like 4 weeks or something like that. It was like, it was a
wow. You couldn't even hold on for the art.
No, and honestly, looking back, I realized why I broke up with him. It's because he was too connected to his emotions and cared too much that it freaked me the fuck out because I didn't want to hurt him. And so I like literally looking back, because I remember going to break up with him and I was like, why am I breaking up with him? I couldn't understand why I was breaking up with him, because I did like him as a person. And I was impressed by him. And I was like, it's because he's like wise beyond his years. And I could tell in comparison to like other high school boys that just wanted to like make out with their girlfriends, that he like actually was like very like interested in me and like intelligent and emotionally intelligent. And I panicked.
I wonder if situations like that, you know that there's something wrong in the back of your mind.
No.
And it's almost like you want to protect them from the explosion.
That's what it was.
You're like, I know this isn't going to last. This whole Bree straight thing isn't going to last long. So I'm going to shield you from the impact.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Because like, compare it to my next relationship. Okay, so I had this relationship.
Not a drawing in sight.
And then single drawing. And then the next guy I dated was my like long-term, my one long-term boyfriend. Okay. And I remember it was my birthday party. I think it was like my 16th birthday, 15th or 16th, don't remember. And I, we had been best friends for like years, like 2 or 3 years at this point in high, all through high school. And then I made out with him on my birthday. I think it was my 15th. I made out with him on my birthday. And then the next morning, he was like, oh, about last night. And I talked to my friends about it. And I was like, I guess it makes sense, because I'm like, I love him as a friend. He's been my best friend forever. And then the only piece missing in a relationship is that you also make out. That's the way I understood relationships at that point. I still didn't understand that I was gay or what like component I was missing. How I computed heterosexual relationships, or like any relationship, is that you really like the person as a friend and then you also happen to hook up.
Yeah.
That was the two pieces that I thought like equaled relationship. So I really liked him as a friend.
And now you'd made out.
And then now we'd make out. So I was like, okay, so that means that we're supposed to be together. And that's like what a relationship is. So we start dating. And I honestly think why that one lasted, like, no offense to him, but he was very not deep.
Okay.
Like, I cannot think of a conversation that went past surface level for the years that we dated. Like, it was very, like, high school, surface level, what party are we going to on the weekend? Oh, should we play beer pong or slap cup with, like, the guys that are coming over?
He's not sad about the breakup because he still doesn't know it happened to this day.
It was like so surface level. Like, I don't remember any sort of introspective conversation, any sort of deep level. So I think a big reason why like I settled into that relationship was because it felt safe, because it was like, here's my, basically we're best friends and we also happen to hook up. And we're friends with all the same people, so we just, like, go to the party, and we would, like, not even hang out at parties. So we'd go to the party together, and then he'd do his thing, I'd do my thing, and then, like, that was it. And I was like, this is what a relationship is. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I thought that's what everyone felt and did. So, like, to me, looking back now, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, how was I so, like, unaware of my lack of emotion?
Yeah.
Because the times that I would get emotional in the relationship is when he did something wrong that on paper I knew was wrong to do in a relationship.
Okay.
So, like, for example, like, if he, like, flirted with another girl or something, my friends would be like, oh my God, like, that's rude, or that's inappropriate, or, like, I think this girl likes him and he's flirting back or whatever. And then I would get upset because I was embarrassed that he was doing something wrong. You know what I mean? So I was like, you shouldn't do this in a relationship. And you're embarrassing me because we're supposed to be, like, loyal to each other. So now I'm pissed at you.
Yeah.
It was never actually about, like, me being hurt that he could like somebody else or be, like, into anybody else.
No, you were continuing to check the boxes.
Yeah. I was like, we're supposed to be the, like, perfect couple that are together and loyal to each other. And you're screwing up this whole facade for me. Like,
gotta,
you're
really check a fight box.
You're really, like, messing it up for me. And that went on for however many years. And it was interesting to see the change happen, because during those couple of years, when it started, I would have never, like, it wasn't like I was trying to push down the fact that I was gay, as you said. Like, there, I didn't even know I had tracks to cover.
Yeah.
But by the end of the relationship, it was very much that. I was becoming more and more aware of, like, my own feelings. I would go to parties, you know, he would, like, give me the quote-unquote pass to, like, make out with a girl. And once again, in my head, I was like, I'm doing this because, like, guys think it's cool. Like, I would write it off in my head. Like, I would try and, like, convince myself that that was normal.
I'm doing this because he's going to think it's hot.
Exactly. Yeah. But really, I could care less if he was in the room. There's one time specifically, which is funny to remember, that I remember I was making out with this girl at this party. We had like played spin the bottle or something. And when I stopped making out with her, I looked up and realized no one else was in the room anymore. And I hadn't even noticed that everyone had left and we were still making out in the room. And I think that you was like one of the first moments.
And you realize you were never at a party.
And time kind of froze. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh. That was really just...
That was for me.
That was just for me. That was really just, hey, yeah, was just a was me thing. Me, yeah. That was a me thing. And even before that, like, I remember when I made out with girls before dating guys, it would always be like, oh, we're, like, you know, the practicing thing. Or, like, this is just fun. Like, we're just having a laugh. Gal pals having a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, it would always be, like, there'd be some excuse of, like, the reasoning that I was doing it. But I became more and more aware of, like, the fact that all these things I was doing in my life was because I thought that's what I was supposed to do in life. And all these things that I wasn't doing is because I thought that I wasn't supposed to do them. And totally. It didn't make sense to me. Like, I didn't have any representation at the time. Like, I've talked about before, like, I didn't watch YouTube. I didn't know, like, I was very in my fishbowl of my friend group at high school and no one happened to be out. And so I just didn't even know that possibility existed. So when I started having those feelings, it was, like, very confusing for me. And because it was really, like, figuring it out for myself. And I think that's a good thing to say for people that think that, like, people become gay because of movies they watch or creators they watch or things they see online. Like, I literally might as well have dropped me in the middle of Sahara fucking desert. I would have figured out that I was gay.
Also, it's funny that people make that claim. Mm-hmm. Oh, they must be gay because of media mm-hmm. and stuff. There is way more straight shit out there.
Yeah.
Like,
you have
just
to dig through it.
If you did the ratio, everybody would be gay. Yeah. I mean, not everybody. Everybody would be straight. There's just way more content.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're saying that content flips people that easily or influences their sexuality, there's not enough gay shit to build a team.
It the other way. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're far outnumbered when it comes to,
definitely.
To that.
It's funny because I have talked about it before, but... my first girlfriend, I had the same thing. Mm-hmm. We had been friends and then made out, basically. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we would go to movies or go out mm-hmm. for sushi and do things like that. And I was like, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then it started getting to the point that I wasn't interested, mm-hmm. but my mind told me that we just weren't a good fit.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe she's annoying me. Maybe we're just, you know, she's a Libra. That's just, which automatically would have
stars
been a gay.
Yeah.
So my brain told me that we just weren't a good fit.
Right.
That was the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my straight brain at the time, thought, well, I'll just try someone else.
Oh,
and perfect. That'll be the perfect fit. And so both of my first two girlfriends I dated for, I think, like 9 months.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, for me at least, with compulsory heterosexuality,
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that as soon as you see the other side, as soon as you open the curtain and see, like, the Wizard of Oz man on the other side, you're fucked,
mm-hmm.
and it hits you like a ton of bricks, and then you start realizing that it's like when people say you die and your mm-hmm. life flashes before your eyes, you honestly, I felt like I saw my straight life flash before my eyes, because you start going back and thinking about all of those weird mm-hmm. little tiny interactions mm-hmm. and decisions you made and things not adding up and things not aligning and making out with girls at parties and everybody leaving and you guys still being in the room.
Yeah.
All of that floods in. And I honestly, weirdly enough, remember one of the first times that mm-hmm. I allowed myself to start questioning all those mm-hmm. decisions. I was in the shower, like all good mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
I remember my shower was broken and I was in my parents'. Like, I remember it so specifically. Mm-hmm. That's how haunting it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a shower and then suddenly it was while I was, I think right after actually I had dated my second girlfriend, I was like, wait a second, maybe, just maybe,
yeah,
I didn't like her for another reason. Oh. And I remember in my brain going, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Is that,
you know?
I had this same moment.
Yeah, where you're like, fuck, no, yeah. No. Because obviously, I think things have changed positively, yes, in the times that we have come out. Mm-hmm. But even now, it's obviously a hard thing to come to terms with. And I remember being like, fuck, if that's the reason, like, I'm screwed.
I'm fucked. Yeah. Same. And so I had that almost very similar moment. I was like,
you know, when you like get sweaty, oh, yeah, when you're like, and your like palms are sweating, yeah, and you're like having a panic attack. I had a gay panic attack. Now I have one all the time. But
I was doing okay, so this is funny because it ties in. So this one girl that I made out with at this party, she was like an older girl.
The one that it lasted?
No, this is a different time. Oh, okay. I made out with all sorts of girls.
I'm
like,
gathering.
Should have gathered. But like, speaking to that, like you just said, it's one of those weird things that like a lot of people are like, oh my God. So like that whole time, were you covering it up? And like, did you feel bad that you were lying to everyone? It's like, I was lying to my damn self.
Totally.
I didn't even have enough knowledge to be lying to other people.
Yeah.
Like, when you all started realizing, I was realizing. Like,
no, when you guys realized, give me 3 years. Yeah. I need to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, I had made out with this one girl at this party who was, like, a couple years older than me. A year older than me. Something like that. But at the time, it seems like a big deal, you know? Like, I'm like, older
women.
Girl. Like, oh, my God, hot. Maybe that's why I have a thing for older women now. Oh, my God. Because this was, like, my first, like, big moment that had to do with an older woman. Oh, my God. I need my therapist to tell me about this. Anyways, so I made out with this girl at this party. Same thing, like, we made out in, like, the basement downstairs. Like, people had
Some of yours might have maybe been more obvious. I will say that.
Okay, but we've talked about this before, and I think the difference is that it was normalized for women,
absolutely,
to kiss women. But if you had kissed guys, it would have been more obvious.
Totally.
For you,
no,
right?
I absolutely agree. It's just funny hearing.
It's funny, yeah. It's totally funny. So, anyways, we had, like, gotten dared to kiss, and then we had, like, kissed
by
in
yourself
front of people on the, like, main floor, and then we had gone downstairs to kiss alone just to continue the dare. Who knows why?
Like, I have no idea why. They would have wanted this.
Yeah. So anyways, we kissed. And then afterwards, I just remember, like, she embodied so much of, like, what I thought was, like, so cool at the time. Like, she just really didn't give a fuck and, like, owned herself.
Okay.
So we'd kissed, and then she had walked back upstairs in the party and just, like, loudly been like, okay, Bree's the best kisser I've ever kissed. And she just, like, was, like, very, like, out there. I don't even know what she identifies at this point. I just think that, like, she's just her.
Okay.
She was always, like, one of those people that just would say everything. She didn't care if it, like, made her look different or whatever. And I thought she was, like, so hot and cool. Anyways, so she says this, and I just remember hearing that because I was still coming up the stairs, and I heard her say that to everyone. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, she just said I was, like, the best kisser. Like, holy shit. So anyways, the week after, there was another, like, high school party or, like, get-together or whatever. And I was sitting in my room, and I would sit in front of the mirror and do my makeup. And I'm sitting in front of the mirror doing my makeup. And I'm playing over and over again in my head her saying that I'm the best kisser. And all I can think about is the fact that she's going to be there that night. And wondering if we will be quote unquote dared, or like something will happen that I will get to kiss her again. And I was very nervous that my performance will match up with what she thought of me the last time, of still being a really good kisser.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there for an hour thinking, like, oh my God, like, if I kiss her tonight, I've got to do it the same way. Because I was like, she clearly really liked that. And I'm like thinking about this for an hour. All of a sudden, I have this, like, weird, like, you know, the crack kind of shows.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to explain to people, because people will be like, you're thinking that for an hour, and at no point do you think maybe I'm, like, really into this girl or I'm gay. But
you don't.
Like, it's like, that is compulsory heterosexuality. It wasn't even an option. I didn't think about it. And then the crack. And I literally have this moment.
All it takes.
And I have this moment, like, why am I not thinking about, I'm going to this party with my boyfriend. Why am I not thinking about kissing my boyfriend at this party? And I remember looking in the mirror and going, like, in my head, like, fuck. Like,
totally
freaking the fuck out. And I'm doing my makeup, and I continue doing my makeup. And as I'm doing my makeup, I just out loud say, you're gay, to myself in the mirror. I say, you're gay.
How has this never come up in this podcast?
I don't know. This is like the craziest. I thought I had said this.
I don't think you've ever said that.
People tell me if I've said this, because, like, literally, this is like the craziest moment. I say, you're gay. And then I start hysterically laughing.
I would too.
I started laughing so hard. And I'm like, you're not gay. Like, what a ridiculous thought. And I start laughing. And then the panic kind of subsides through, like, me laughing about it. And then I, like...
Which, if somebody was watching this happen...
Can you imagine me sitting there doing the makeup and
you're gay.
Like,
you're gay.
And then I just remember, like, kind of going back into a bit of a panic. I, like, teared up a bit. And then I was just like... just forget this. And I went to the party and I like shoved it back down. But this, that was the
that
first...
sounds like my morning routine now.
You're gay.
You're gay. Laughter, tears.
And then just shove it down.
Yeah, shove it down, keep going.
And then I literally, but that once that happened, I became increasingly aware. Like
yeah.
Once the awareness is there, it's impossible to unsee the awareness.
It's first the awareness and then even almost worse than I think the initial moment where you see the person behind the curtain is the fog of realizing that every single one of the things that you're thinking and acting on and all that is now for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. And then overthinking every interaction, all
And not only did I overthink every interaction I'd ever had before, but moving forward, my life for that next, like, year or two before I actually came out was so much harder because, and I always remember, like, wishing I went back to, like, the ignorant place.
Yeah.
Because then I overthought every interaction moving forward. Things that I would do before and think nothing of, like making out with a girl at a party, because I was, like, almost ignorant to myself, I never even processed that people would consider that me being gay. But then moving forward, I was so stressed about doing anything because I thought in the same way I had just pieced it together, other people were going to piece
else.
It together. So then everything...
Somebody else doing their makeup. Bree's gay.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then so then everything became so thought out and it got like obsessive, like to the point that I like... Every little thing that I did, I would be stressed about how I was presenting it. I totally went the full opposite way of trying to, like...
steer it in the other direction.
Yeah, steer it in the other direction. Trying, like, please boys in the sense of, like, wear, like, super, like, dresses. Things that I thought, like, tight-fitting dresses. Things that I thought boys would find hot. Like, talk like I was boy crazy. Like, oh my God, all I want in life is to, like, marry a boy. And, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I tried to overcompensate outside because inside I was like this now I know this is the last thing I want and I'm freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, it really is ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, because for the
like
first time
straight ignorance
making out with
is,
girls I was like this is great.
Yeah, and then you're like fuck.
And then I realized that I liked making out with girls a little too much and then I really just
I think people downplay, especially people that obviously haven't had these experiences, downplay how much weight heteronormativity has on someone's psyche in the way that we say we didn't realize. We weren't covering our tracks.
Totally.
Like, it's pretty insane that every single decision that's just assumed straight for the first, I don't know, for you 15 years of your life, like, that obviously fucks your brain.
Oh, yeah. And it makes you feel... kind of, for me at least, out of control.
Yeah.
Because it made me question, I'm like, how was I so, like, embedded in the societal system that I was just going from point A to point B to point C to point D that I thought I was supposed to do in life? Like, that's a lot of, like, unwiring.
Oh, yeah.
To, like...
That's, like, cult vibes.
Yeah. To feel like, that's how it felt for me. Like, how have I done all this? Like, how have I been so... embedded in what I thought I was supposed to do that I didn't even realize who I was. And then the guilt comes of like me feeling like I've lied to all these people. And then I'm panicking. So I'm like continuing to lie. And it just becomes very overwhelming because you're kind of like, how was I so out of control or out of like tune of who I was that I was not able to catch this before it became in my mind such a big issue.
Yeah.
And
you're like, how do I dig myself out of this hole?
Yeah.
But I just now realized that I'm in a hole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know I was digging.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I thought I was
standing on the crust, bitch.
I seriously thought I was just, you know, walking the park. But no, I'm fucking 6 feet under.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I get back up there? And then it becomes, it's like when you've told a small lie and then you make it a bigger lie. And you're like, why didn't I just... I just remember feeling so mad at myself that I didn't realize sooner, because I think I came out so much later because a big part of me was like, I'm in too deep. Like, yeah. I don't know how to peel these layers back now that I've put up all these walls. Like, so much of what everyone thinks of me is a lie, and I don't know how to explain to people that aren't queer or haven't been through this that I was not doing this in a malicious way, and that I didn't know for most of the time too.
Yeah.
Like, that really was like something that really weighed on me, because I was very aware, and I think this is something to make note of for folks listening. When people come out to you, whether it's that they're, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, whatever it is, like, don't give them the questions where it's like, well, then why XYZ. Well, then why did you date so-and-so? Well, then why did you hook up this? How long have you known? Like, well, then why did you like so much, you know, saying XYZ or doing this or whatever? Or like,
it's like, bitch, I was trying to stay afloat.
Yeah, seriously. And those questions, it's like, that's confusing enough for me to be asking myself. Like, I don't even have all the answers.
Yeah.
And so, right, like, now I have a lot more understanding, but at the time I didn't have those answers. And I remember a big part of my stress was that I knew those questions were coming and I didn't have those answers. And even the answers I did have, I didn't want to say, because I was like, this is just gonna be too much.
Yeah.
And that's,
or people won't believe you when you say, I had no idea.
Yeah. They're like, okay. Well, come on, how would you have no idea? Like,
you meet up with that girl at the party.
Exactly. Yeah. And then in the same way that like I pieced it together, you become aware that other people are going to start piecing it together and think that you were just like, for me, it was like, oh my God, people were going to think I was just like maliciously cheating on my boyfriend by making out with these girls.
Yeah, because
like,
you knew, and you were, that was a loophole.
Yeah, and I was like, that he was my beard and like all these different things that come with it. And I feel like that's just, it's such a unique experience for every single person that it's impossible to like understand unless you have in some capacity had this like literal, like for at that time of my life, like a crisis, identity crisis.
Yeah.
Like, my whole world gets flipped upside down. I don't even understand it. And now I'm expected to explain it to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
totally
feels so fucking confusing.
Yeah. You're like, I'm just catching up to this game, girl.
I have as much clue as you do at this point. But want to make out?
I am the best kisser. Yeah, it's just wild when you start thinking about all of the times that your heterosexuality was assumed from birth.
Yeah, actually.
Every time you were 3 years old and in the vicinity of somebody of the opposite sex, and parents are like, look, they're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or every single fucking Halloween costume that somebody told you wanted to wear. Every single time you wore something and somebody was like, oh, that's weird for a girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
It's like insane when you think about how many instances throughout your whole life, before you were even processing where you were, that people just force it on you.
Oh,
and
100%.
You're just like, ha ha. And your parents are like, ha ha. And all your friends are just laughing too. It's,
For people that are heterosexual out there, I would describe it in the same way as, like, when you're a kid, you know how you just, like, go to school? Because that's something that you're just, like, supposed to do, and you never question it. Like, you never, like, why did society create school where we go from September to June? And why do I take classes about history? Like, you start maybe questioning certain things that you take in school when you're, like, in, you know, maybe middle of high school. You're like, this course is dumb, or why did I start taking this course? Or like, this history, like, as you get older, you realize my history lessons are maybe, like, wrong, or, like, not involving a lot of, like, racism and, like, all these different things that you realize as you age. But at a certain point in your life, you just went to school.
Yeah.
And you just didn't question what they were telling you, and you just showed up. You believe what your teachers said, you did your homework, and it was just, that's the way the world works. I'm a kid, and I start going to school at this age, and I go to school.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it, but, like, it's about you. So it's like every day I would wake up and I'd just do the things that I thought I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like I was consciously like, I'm doing this because I'm supposed to do this. It's just that that's the way it was.
Literally. Or like you getting out of school and starting a job because the... Mm-hmm. The world says when you finish school, you start a job,
yeah,
and you work that job for years, and then you realize, hey, I actually don't enjoy working in an office. I want to do something else.
Exactly.
And then you start making decisions based on your passion.
Yeah.
And in your case, your passion was making out with girls.
I started making the decision to make out with a lot more girls.
You're like, I need a job because I need to survive and I need money. And then eventually you're like, wait, I just jumped right into this without... questioning, without making out with girls, without questioning, you know, why I'm actually working in the first 100%.
Place. And I think every person, no matter your identity, has those experiences in different facets of their life where you're all of a sudden like, it's that like hamster wheel moment where you're like, wait a second, why am I on this wheel?
Yeah.
How did I get here? What do I actually want to be doing? And everyone has those, like you said, with school, with jobs, with like certain family members or certain friendships that you realize, wait a second, this isn't for me. And that's, I think, the same for a lot of LGBTQ plus folks. So in the same way that you maybe didn't know at a certain point in your life that what you were doing was it for you, like, I think there's this weird assumption that like, at the same time, straight people hit puberty and know they like guys, like, I also should have known that I liked girls.
Yeah.
And then because I didn't, or because I, like, it's either that I was lying or that I'm not really gay, or like, how could I be gay if I dated this guy, or like, whatever. And it's hard for people to wrap that around their heads that, like, I just was on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And
I was had no idea.
One foot ahead of the other. I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And it takes one trip and then you realize. Isn't it weird that we have those moments pinpointed to a location?
It's fucked, actually.
And I can visualize the moment.
Oh, I know exactly where I sit. Like, when I say I was sitting in front of the mirror, I can tell you exactly, like, what side of the mirror I was sitting on.
Yeah.
Like, sitting on the floor, crossing my legs, I had my, like, stuff around me. I, like, can picture, I did my makeup in the same spot, so I can, like, picture, like, I used to drive my mom nuts, there'd be, like, foundation on the mirror where I, like, did it and stuff. And, like, literally, like, bronzer on the carpet, like, underneath me. I can, like, picture it. Like, I can smell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so crazy that, like, there's so many different moments once you kind of, like, become more aware of who you are that you look back and you're like, how did I not figure out then or then? Like, why was that the moment? Because there's, trust me, there are so many moments previous to that that I could have got on.
Yeah.
But it just didn't compute fully. I literally basically dated girls.
Yes.
Like, I dated girls. But that's the thing. Like, I'm going to say this and people are going to be like, what the fuck is she on? Like, how were you, like, basically in a relationship with girls, but you didn't know you were gay? But
yeah.
It's just confusing. Like, I didn't know what that meant. The other person didn't know what that meant. Like,
you can't have an answer when you don't know you're supposed to be asking questions.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And then I look back and, like, I was in love with her. I was in love with her. I didn't just think she was the coolest girl in school. Like, I was fucking in love with her. All I cared about was looking cool to the girls, but I was presenting it in a way that, like, I was trying to fit in with the girls by impressing the guys.
Classic.
Oh, God. It's so weird to look back on. It's so fucking weird. Ugh. It gives me, like, the shivers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, I think it's interesting, like, something just to, like, wrap it up. It's interesting the different dynamic of you as a gay man and me as a lesbian woman. The difference of dynamic of, like, things that probably could have happened
for
us.
That would have slapped my reality faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, didn't because of, like, you have an added layer of societal norms, like, you had to be, like, masculine, and there's no way that you could have even, like, made out with a guy.
Well, that's the thing is, like, even if I had been like you and thought that I was making out with a guy to impress my girlfriend as, like, you know?
Like, even just saying that.
There's,
like,
the added layer of, like, if I try to kiss a guy, I might get beat up.
Yeah,
you
totally,
know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, there wasn't any exploration. There was exploration later when we were figuring out that maybe, you know, a few of us had similar thoughts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's an added layer of... Mm-hmm. loveliness to that.
It's like societal norms of like women do things to impress men helped me experiment to be my true self in a weird way, because it gave me an alibi. Whereas with you,
society's understanding that men hate femininity and inflict violence on gay men probably made my coming out a little bit longer.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to wrap that up. How fun for us both. Yeah.
Breeze quotes.
Oh, God. We should put that on t-shirts. Yeah. Just this whole episode. Absolutely. We'll just write it in a tiny little like, one-point font.
Totally.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening, make sure to follow or subscribe. Find us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. Click the link in the bio. There is our Patreon there. Thank you so much to Aiden and all of our other patrons for being so generous and sponsoring I Can Explain Podcast. You can check out the Patreon. You can also check out all of our merch. It's linked in the bio over there. And you can follow us personally on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. I already said that. And Sean.Lusk and myself, Brianne Williams. And also on TikTok at I Can Explain Podcast.
Got some new content going up there.
And at Brianne Williamson _ on TikTok.
God, the underscore really ruins it every time.
Until next time, we will see you around the gay neighborhood.
What is this person doing? Can you hear that?